Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet The Amazing Podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Have you been in a job that you're really not passionate about and teetering with the idea of leaving that behind and launching a fitness business? Well, you'll be excited to hear my next guest. Her name is Kristen Crowley. She has been a news anchor and TV personality for more than 15 years and has recently left all of that behind to help fitness pros build their brands. So you're going to want to stay tuned for this conversation. She's going to share her story, how fitness saved her life, and how she has turned this passion into a business and is helping others. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you. This is great.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on, and there's so much to talk about. But the first thing I want to just jump right in, how did fitness save you?
Oh, man. So a lot of people out there that I don't know yet may not know this story. So I had two very high-risk pregnancies, and I was actually put on full bed rest with my first child. The second one, I was able to work, but modified bed rest, and I was not allowed to move for 10 months, really. So, you know, gained a ton of weight, as we do when we're pregnant anyway. So gained a good 50 pounds, but it was that solid weight, not that water weight, not the pretty pregnancy weight by any means. And when I came out of that, I actually really suffered from postpartum depression. And I had never felt that before in my life. I've always been, you know, we've talked about that. We like to be in control. I had always been in control of my emotions, and I never thought that I could not control something in my mind. And when I realized I was crying uncontrollably, I was depressed, I had never felt that way, I didn't know what to do. And like most people in fitness and wellness, you don't want to take a lot of drugs. Like, you just, it's not your thing. Like, you don't want to go right to an antidepressant. I tried it, and it literally made me worse. I felt worse when I took it. I became more anxiety ridden. I would shake. I had itching hands. It was horrendous. All of this while I was on TV, trying to be live in the morning over, like, coming back off pregnancy, maternity leave, in front of hundreds of thousands of people who are judging you every day, did not make postpartum any better. And I finally decided I had to do more as far as fitness. So I went back, got personal trainers, and found a friend that I knew from 20 years before. And he was like, you need to lift heavy weight. That's what we're going to do. And I started just lifting, you know, we progressed heavier and heavier. And I never thought it was possible for me because I've had back surgery. I have knee issues. I have a torn shoulder. I have every ailment, and never thought I could lift heavy. And he proved me wrong. And the only time all of my symptoms went away was when I was either in hot yoga or lifting heavy weights. And I realized the power of fitness and the mental strength I got out of it. And it helped me overcome postpartum faster than I thought I was going to without any drugs. So, I mean, in essence, that's how fitness totally saved my life.
I think that's such an amazing story, because you being, you know, talking about being on TV and you're in the public eye and you're suffering through this, and then you find a way that's just using fitness, which I love that, because fitness, I think, has saved a lot of us in different areas of our life. I know for me, the same thing. I had a moment where I turned to fitness, and that was what helped carry me through a tough spot in my life. So I love that's how it has, how you've really connected to it, that it did that for you. And this leads us into the next question, which is all about the story. You were featured in Strong Magazine, but there's a story behind that, because there's not only were you featured in the magazine, but there's a story like when you had your photo shoot that I love and you have to share.
So everybody will appreciate this, because we're all too damn hard on ourselves. Like 100%, we are too hard on ourselves. You wake up one day, you've gained a pound. I look like hell. I look terrible. I've gained 10 pounds. It's like a pound. That makes no difference on your body, really. And we beat ourselves up for it. So I actually, you know, once I kind of, after the postpartum, really fell into love with fitness, did my first fitness photo shoot. I had done, you know, photo shoots in my 20s, but never as a, you know, more in the muscle state of, you know, being more shredded, which was very hard for me to do because my body naturally doesn't sit that way. It naturally, you know, I can build muscle, but I'm much more curvy and, you know, a softer look. It's very hard for me to cut fat. So I wanted to take it further and join, get into the fitness community. And I kind of made my way through Fitposium, which is where I kind of realized that there were more opportunities out there for us in general in the fitness space. And I still didn't have a goal in fitness as far as now being a brand type media coach for fitness people. I was still in TV. I was still anchoring every morning and didn't know what I wanted to do, but I kept getting pulled into that realm of helping people. And all of our viewers always sent me messages of how do you do things? And so I was like, you know, I really, one goal that I wanted out of my entire, you know, I guess childhood was to be on a magazine. We all think that's the coolest thing, but I also think it sounds kind of like I didn't want to sound like I was like stuck up or, you know, just wanted it for vanity reasons. So I made a pact with myself that I was going to attend Fitposium. And I actually told James, the creator of it, that I wanted to land a feature in Strong Fitness Magazine, but I did not want it to happen until after I turned 40. And he was like, okay, well, you know, we'll try for that this year and whatever. Fast forward to, you know, August of last year, I left my job. I left my career in TV after 12 years in the morning show and didn't know what the hell I was going to do. And I knew I just had to go into fitness full throttle. And I had to, as we said, let go of my labels and just take a leap of faith into it. I went to Fitposium just a few months later and I landed the Strong feature for that year for Fitposium. And I was the only person crying on stage out of like everybody who landed some kind of feature. I was bawling my eyes out and I made everybody cry, but it meant more to me because it was after I had turned 40. I was in a place at that point in my life where I'd found more balance. I wasn't, you know, depriving myself of anything. I was eating or drinking whatever I wanted. I maintained the same workout regimen of, you know, at least 5 days a week, mostly all weight training. And I was in a good place mentally to do it because I think a lot of people get in that place and they do it for vanity reasons. And then they screw themselves when they gain 5 pounds, they beat themselves up. So the funny part of the story, which we've talked about, is that happened in October of last year. I was so excited. And, you know, when you're at conferences, you're having a blast with your girlfriends. Like you're eating, you're drinking. It's like spring break. And I had been eating like an a-hole for the whole week that I was there. We were in Arizona. We had a steakhouse right next to our hotel. So, I mean, 11 o'clock at night, I'm eating ribeyes and baked potatoes and bottles of wine and desserts every night. And me and my girlfriend, Kathleen, we threw down every single night. And I mean, I probably gained 5 pounds in like 3 days just from eating. And unbeknownst to me, everybody was in town for that conference, including the editor of Strong, Kirsten Brown. And she was like, listen, I'm in town. James is here. You're here. Let's just shoot your spread tomorrow. And I was like, what the? No, I'm not shoot. You want me to do what? I was like, I didn't bring clothes for this. I didn't prep for this. I didn't do anything. And what she told me was one of the most pivotal moments in the fitness world for me so far was she looked right at me and she was like, if we didn't want you, we wouldn't have picked you the way you are. She's like, the way you are right now is who we want. We don't want you to go prep for a shoot. We don't want you to starve yourself and not be yourself. And she's like, we love you because of you and you look perfect to us. So we're going to shoot this and we're going to have a good time. And she's like, if you truly feel in your soul that you don't want to do it, if you're really uncomfortable, you know, we won't, but just, we want you like the way you're, this is what we want. And that moment for me was one of the biggest acceptance moments for myself because I'm one of those people. I would train for weeks and be ready for a shoot. And we ended up doing the shoot the next day and it was perfect. And we had so much fun. And I drank green tea for, you know, trying to clear out my system of all the wine and puffiness. And thank God for contour makeup. But it was perfect. And it ended up being an amazing spread and an amazing issue about self-care and self-love. So it all honestly came full circle. So it was a very fun story, but it just showed me that you don't have to be, you're never ready, and just go with it. If the opportunity's there, take it, because it'll lead to even more amazing things than it has.
First of all, Strong Magazine is like my favorite. And I love that they're about real women and everything about that magazine. And any woman that they put in the magazine or on the cover is such incredible representation. And just the fact that, kind of just going back to one comment you made about, let, you know, you took a step of faith, but you had to let go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an encouraging thing right now, because I think a lot of times we try to hold on to things out of fear of what the future holds. And so I love the fact that when you let go and you took that step, like, the doors opened. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, that's, and especially as women, because we like to be in control of everything, you know, everything,
all of it, all the time. And it's not healthy. It's so not healthy.
No. And then here you go and you do this shoot and you're like, and it's so true. I don't, and I'm talking about myself. So y'all, here we go. Prep for everything. Like, you know, it's like, you got to have a couple days. I just need 3 to 5 days to get ready for whatever I'm getting ready to do. Mm-hmm. And that right there to me is freaking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even get to do my spray tan, nothing. Like, I was going in there raw. Like, it was me after eating and drinking for 3 days straight on a bender and just having a blast with my friends. And I guess, you know, that showed through, because my energy was up. I was happy. I was enjoying myself. And, you know, and again, you always want to beat yourself up. Like, it could have been better. Sure. Like, I could have been, you know, watching myself more late, but I wanted to have a good time, and mentally that's what I needed. And mental health has become such the forefront of fitness. And, you know, we negated it for so long. We just kind of pushed it aside of, you have to do this to get this, and didn't think about how someone felt, or how their, you know, their hormones were reacting, and how the stress was taking its toll. And I mean, I left my job in television because it was slowly killing me. I was literally going to end up in the hospital because of exhaustion. So, you know, you make big decisions like that.
Well, I love the whole part about self-care, because that, me too, the same spot as far as, you know, taking time for yourself, being, showing yourself compassion, because there's a lot of times we're harder, especially as women, I feel like we're harder on ourselves than we need to be. And this to me is just such an example of, like, truly embracing who you are, and, you know, and embracing the moment and soaking it up. And it's such a, this is like such a bright spot. So I love everything about that story. And I think that is what makes the feature in the magazine just so much more amazing.
I wish we could, yeah, I wish there was like a behind the scenes, like, of what the article was, because I literally wrote the workout the night before in the hotel room with all of my Get Amped girls from Fitposium. And they were, I was like, okay, so I'm going to do this and time it. I need you to time the workout, because it's got to be 30 minutes. And we were at Target. One was at Target shopping for bands for me. And one was, because we didn't have anything. I mean, this was a last minute. We're like, throw it to the wind and we're going to have fun. And honestly, it really was a blast. I mean, we had so much fun at that shoot and sat on the floor at the end of it, eating pizza and drinking wine. So I don't know what's more fabulous than that when you're doing a fitness photo shoot, sitting on the floor eating pizza, but it was pretty perfect.
That's the best way to wrap any photo shoot. It doesn't matter.
I loved it.
Well, this really brings us to where you are now, and you are helping women in fitness. And I would just love for you to share exactly what you're doing from your media training, and then combining that with your love of fitness, you know, explain to everyone exactly what you're doing now to help us.
It's hard because, again, I'm not your normal fitness coach. I am a certified personal trainer. I have all my certifications, you know, did all the due diligence on that. I understand it. I know, but I also know a side of the world that a lot of people don't get access to, which is television and media. And there's a lot of people in PR who do things to help people in the fitness industry, but, you know, you're paying them a ton of money, like a ton of money to do it. And it's not guaranteed you will ever land features in anything. It's really timing for most of it, timing and connections. And so I figured, how can I help people in a business that I love grow their business to help even more people? So that was really kind of where I started. And it was really with my own, you know, helping with people with media and PR exposure, or just advising them on how to get their own so they didn't have to pay thousands of dollars a month. That turned into helping more women overall, because I also know social media very well through the media business. We were trained in that, and coaching people in general has always been something I've loved to do, is just helping. So I met my business partner, Jill Bunny, who was on the cover of Strong while I was in Arizona, and happened to be in Arizona at the same time. When I landed the Strong feature, she reached out to me on Instagram again and said, I'm in the hotel right across the street from you. We need to get a coffee. And that turned into Reframe Your Biz, which is what we do now. And we really, it's kind of the no bullshit brand building, because a lot of people out there go through programs that they, you know, you pay a ton of money for. They just give you a bunch of papers and they let you go. They don't show you how to do a damn thing. And it got frustrating seeing women in wellness and fitness getting ripped off constantly. So we figured, how can we give back this year? And we created kind of this brand building course where we help fitness and wellness entrepreneurs turn their jobs into a business. And so we've created, you know, the modules of just going through social media, website, Medium PR, launching programs. And Jill also has CBT Meets Fitness, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. So we work all of those aspects into one program to help as many people as we can. And that kind of filled our passion, and that turned into photo shoot retreats, which is where we're going next year, which is going to be fabulous. So we get to take a select group of women, and we're going to these beautiful locations, and we get to do the branding photo shoots with fitness photographers from the highest level that have been nationally published. And we help you literally create all the content and video for your brand in one weekend. And it's going to be absolutely incredible. And we are beyond excited to do it, because it just gives everyone an opportunity after the pandemic to get back together and to shoot content with a bunch of women that you'll be able to use and really just level up your brand. So that's kind of the synopsis of it. It's a lot, but I never do anything small. I have to do all the things.
Well, no, you all are a beast. That's all I'm going to tell you. Like, you're a beast on social media. Like, it's all the time popping. So creative. So like, and the content's always so good. Like, there isn't anything that you've posted that I haven't been like, oh, like, that's really good. I need to try that. Like, you're providing this like safe space where we can come and say, hey, I know fitness, but I don't know anything about social media or online, or how am I supposed to put all this together? Like, you know, because there's so much flying all the time. So I feel like that you all have done an incredible job of really being, providing that.
Yeah, it's hard, because I, you know, and this is what irritates me a lot about the, I guess, stigma of the fitness and wellness industry, because I had to overcome this. I had to let go of the label of being a news anchor and coming into being more of a, as we say it, as a brand or business coach, even though it's a very loose term, but you know, in general, that's what I do now. So when you tell someone I'm a news anchor, you immediately get this, oh, wow, that's great. But when you tell people I'm a personal trainer, they're like, oh, that's nice. It's a total switch mentally of how they see you as a professional. And the fitness and wellness industry is the most needed industry out there right now, especially. And it's so underrated, and people think that because they're just a personal trainer. No, you're not. You are. You just said all those things. You're so much more than that. And you deserve to have this as a business and a career. And people need to really step out of the mindset of, you know, that's a luxury item. It's a necessity. And everyone who is a trainer or nutritionist, you are necessary to help people overcome everything this year is thrown at us, because Lord knows, it's like there hasn't been a day where I probably have not had a cocktail since this started. So I'm not gonna lie about it. That's my therapy. But you know, it's hard to see when people, you know, give you that stigma, and we just want to prove that it can be a very like beneficial and earning business for a long time. Cause a lot of people in fitness business, they set up for a year. They're like, I'm going to launch this one thing and I'll be good for 6 months, but they don't plan like a business where you have your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan, you have all the automation in place, the systems, everything to keep you going forward and growing. And, you know, we saw that need that a lot of people in the industry just weren't helping women in general. They just were like, okay, here's point C, where you're making 7 figures, which nobody, that's a complete lie. You know, and they just blow all the smoke up everybody's ass. Like, here, you get all this thing, and they teach you all these things, but there's nothing in between. Like, nobody shows them how to build a foundation, and then they fail and they think it's because of themselves, and it's not. It's just because they don't have the right resources. It's just hard to find. I mean, or hard to find honest people, I guess would be the way to put it.
Yeah, no, that's real. Cause there's a lot of people out there saying that they can help, and then you're having to kind of weed through and figure out what's a fit. And there's a lot of people that are doing, that are coaching resources or business resources, but they're not specific to fitness. And that's what I think is so special about this. I just think that you guys do a fabulous job of helping all of us to grow. And so with that said, what are a few tips that you can give us that you can share with us for IG? So if we're wanting to expand our reach, what would you recommend for business or personal?
Business or personal, any of it, it's all the same. And that's the thing, is all of this translates across any type of business. It doesn't, we teach stuff that all of our analogies are towards fitness, and we know how to launch fitness products. So that's our specialty. It's good for everybody. So the biggest things, I have never paid for advertising on any of my social media. Everything is 100% organic. And with that being said, if you do not have a budget to spend on marketing and advertising, don't. You are wasting your money if you can't do it long term. That's a long term play, like a business. You have to plan a marketing budget. So the best way to interact, I have a few things that I always do. Always using the geolocator, even if you're online. So if you are an online personal trainer and you want to get exposure, still use a geolocator, which is in your stories and in your posts of the city you live in, because you want to be the most, like, the mayor of your town. You want to be the most well-known person in your town, and that will spill over with word of mouth. So always using a geolocator, always using a hashtag in every single thing you post, no matter what, because it's free advertising and you're getting in front of eyeballs that don't know you. So if you're in your posts, a minimum of 11 to 22 hashtags every time you post. In your stories, you can use 10 of them, and that gives you 10 different hashtags that you're thrown in front of in story circles, which is great. So those work fabulous. And of course, IG Reels and IGTV, which are the two hottest things in Instagram right now, you want to use your hashtags in those as well, because those you can use larger hashtags and get in front of more people. So those are big ones that I do every single time. The biggest thing is to completely control the energy of your space and to be 100% authentic, because people read through bullshit like there is no tomorrow. You know, I did have to tone it down a lot for my years in television, because I had to be very politically correct, because I had to be bipartisan on everything. I had to be in, you know, this professional bubble. Now I don't have to be, so I can use, you know, more of my language or how I talk, with some curse words sort of thrown in sometimes, which is not what I would ever do if I was still on air. So using your own feel and your language and being authentic. And the last one is to engage your butt off. So the only way that you ever create a relationship with someone is by talking to and reaching out with someone. They are not going to magically follow your account and magically buy your things because of your pretty little picture. Nobody cares. Everybody can have a pretty little picture nowadays, and it does not matter. And of course, the big one is keep it simple. Like, I hate overcomplicating. And if you feel, I have a rule that I learned when I was younger from my mom, is when you walk out of the house and you have, you know, you're all done up, take off one piece of jewelry. Like, that's, take off something so it doesn't distract from everything else. Kind of the same rule for social media. If you design all these crazy posts because you're going buck wild in Canva and you think you've got the best looking posts on the planet because they've got 80 graphics and the text is everywhere, take one thing out before you're done, because you've probably overdone it, because we all try to do too much. So keeping it simple is my biggest across the board of just consistent messaging and content and look, and keep it clean. People love white backgrounds with black letters. You don't have to do anything fancy to win attention. It's in your messaging and how you engage with them. So I try and engage every single person who's commented on every single post I've ever made, I've replied to. And
on the engagement, I want to ask you about this, because this is something I run into, and I don't think I'm the only one, but I even find sometimes engaging with people, I don't even know, like, do I emoji back? Do I need to write something out? Like, what does that exactly mean? Or I'm a little shy about responding to them. Like, what kind of, is there anything you can say you know, to kind of help us with that or help me get over that.
If it's, if you're talking about it being on your page and someone comments that you don't know, you can always just, like it and put a little heart, whatever you want to do. But the best thing to do is to respond back to them. If you don't know them at all, say, hey, I don't know, you know, are you new to my page? I haven't recognized you. What do you think of X, Y, and Z? Ask a leading question, because they're going to have to respond to you. And if they don't respond to you there, and it's someone who you may think is an ideal client, like, you know, she may be shy too. She may not want to talk. She's like, oh gosh, I can't talk to her. She's, you know, she's got this beautiful picture. She's got a six pack. I can't talk to her. Not the case at all in our industry, because everybody loves to talk. So trust me, message any fitness pro, they're probably going to talk to you too much. But the best part is go to their page and see if you can, you know, even if you don't follow them, be reciprocal and go and like something that they like, so they feel more comfortable. And if they have a little, you know, story that's live right then, that's a way to slide into their direct messages. You can go to their stories and be able to see something cute and comment on it. And it's just being observant. So if you observe that the person, you know, their background, they have like, I have these plants, like you could go in my story and be like, oh my gosh, I love that plant. Where did you buy it? I'm going to respond, because we all like to talk about where we find things and ourselves. So as long as you can connect with people on a level outside of what you do, and that's where the connection comes in. And even if they don't buy from you then, or even if they're not following you then, at least they know who you are. And the next time they see you, they might. So it's just about creating future like relationships, and connection is 100% the determining factor between becoming successful in business and just staying stagnant and not growing at all.
That's awesome. That's super helpful information just for, I mean, for myself, because I've had moments where I hear people say engage, engage. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm engaging. I think I'm doing the right thing, even if I'm heart emoji, but I'm not sure if I need to say something more. Yeah. So that for me is like really helpful.
Always ask a question. Always ask a question that requires them to respond back, because an emoji doesn't require a response. Unless you put like the middle finger or the booty or something. I mean, you know, that might require, they might respond to that, because they'll be like, what are you, seriously? But if you're not using the polarizing emojis, like don't throw a bunch of eggplants at somebody and expect them to be your friend. Like, just don't do that. Like, I also had to explain to my husband what the eggplant emoji was, because he doesn't do social media, and it was really entertaining. So emojis can be effective, but in a totally different way that you probably don't want on Instagram. But yeah, just leading questions and just finding, I've always done that, no matter what interview I've been in, whatever, you know, job I've tried to get, I immediately scan the room. And now since we're on social media, you scan the room behind people, or in their photos, and you always find something that you relate to immediately. So, you know, if someone has like a picture of a horse, I'm a horse person, I would immediately like find a way to interject that in the conversation within 30, 60 seconds, because then we have something in common, and that's where we develop networks and relationships. So yeah, always leading questions, and just be, you have to slow down a second and take a second to actually look at that person as a human being and not just another follower. And when you start treating people that way, it's really the quality over quantity, and you don't have to worry about the numbers. And it took me a long time to not worry about numbers, trust me, because that was my focus for years. But half of my account are, you know, horny old dudes that are trying to comment on my shoes. So they're not my ideal client, and I can't find a way to kick them off nicely. So I just have to post polarizing crap until they leave, or delete and block them. So that's the issue of social media.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah, if you don't start out as the person you want to be, you're going to get some weirdos. And thank God for the engagement, guys. I appreciate you, but you have, I don't want anything to do with your comments or your, yeah. So keep that in mind when you're posting, that you're attracting the ideal client as well.
You've given so much good information just in this one little segment. I think this is awesome.
Very honest, right?
Yes. No, but it's true. And I mean, it's just real stuff, because I think we're all like, and anybody that's listening to this is obviously, I would say they're probably on Instagram, mm-hmm. and using that pretty regular. So moving away from this and talking a little bit more about business, what advice would you give somebody that's actually looking to start a business?
Do it. Stop waiting. Seriously, stop waiting. It's not going to happen any differently if you wait a week or 2 weeks or a month. Invest in who you feel comfortable with. don't just go out and buy the first thing you see as far as learning or, you know, developing your product. Ask around, ask friends who they trust, who they've worked with. You know, I have other people who are much better with like e-commerce, and I know people who are better with product launches. I would refer people to them over myself. So asking around is always the best thing to start your business. And really, it doesn't take that much to do it. It just doesn't. It does not take much at all. But I would say, yeah, going for it, because there is no perfect plan. And I waited and waited and waited. And, you know, I didn't get any further. I got more exhausted. I got more sick. I got more tired. I got more disengaged with my family. And now that I'm actually doing what I love, our entire house has elevated its energy in that sense. Like, so sometimes it's really not worrying about the money for a little bit and just really taking that leap of faith and just going for it. And when you do that and you put yourself out there, you really do find people who will support you.
That's right on point. All about letting go, taking the step of faith and just doing it, not holding back one bit.
Like Elsa, let it go, baby. Let it go.
Well, as we wrap things up, I always love toward the end of the podcast to give an opportunity to the guests for you to share if there's something on your heart that you felt was really important to leave with the listeners.
Oh gosh. You know, that's an emotional and hard one. I didn't actually try and pre-plan anything for this conversation. So, what's on my heart right now, I would say is judgment. A lot of people are very fearful of being judged, and a lot of people are very, they don't take the leap because they are afraid of someone making fun of them or judging them. And I think that that is the biggest thing that you have to let go of right now, is the, where we jump to negative conclusions about things, that someone's judging us in a negative way, where they may be rooting us on, and we don't even know it because we're not, you know, we're so closed off from everything. So this has been my year of growth as far as really asking for help and letting go of, you know, the stigma of a lot of things and the judgment I put on myself, that I think people are looking at me in a positive or negative way. So if you have something out there right now that you're dealing with, especially with COVID and the pandemic and being by yourself, there are people out there to help you. And it's okay to admit that you need help, especially mentally right now. We need to break the stigma on the mental health side of things tremendously. And you know, when you have women who will actually listen to you, not all women are catty. They're there for you to support you. And we're all in that together. So I wish I would have stopped judging myself a long time ago. I probably would be a lot further along in life. And if you're afraid of something, just do it and then do it again and do it again and do it again until you're not afraid of it anymore. I did that with public speaking. I was afraid of public speaking. I used to shake to the point where I could barely stand if I had to go speak in front of people. And now I do live TV shows. So don't say it's not possible, because never say never. That's my big one.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I agree with you. I think there's a lot more women out there that are supportive than there are catty, and we all need each other. And not being afraid to reach out and connect. Yeah. And it's just like when I reached out to you, I didn't know who you were, but I wanted to, because your vibe was so vibrant. And I'm like, she's got good vibes. And
hey, girl.
I need to know who you are. So, and you can see that. I mean, you can see your authenticity, but I think just all of us knowing that there is a large group of us out there that are there to support, to love, and to embrace you and help you. I know I need it at times. I know, just like you said, you needed it. Like, we all need it. We all need each other. And so I just so appreciate your heart in that, and sharing that. So my last thing is, what is your theme song right now?
So I'm not great at theme songs because they change constantly. I love all genres of music. I love everything. But my consistent, and I'm totally ratchet when it comes to music. So this is like the, I can't say anything. So Cardi B, Cardi B is my, like, I love her to death. And I would say Bodak Yellow is still my theme song, only because like it's the, you know, I make money moves. Like it's just a vibe. The whole song is a vibe for me. It's the only reason I ever want to own a pair of Christian Louboutins. Like the only reason I would ever, you know, and I still don't have them, but I will eventually, and I will buy them and I will dance to that song with my red bottom shoes on. And that was a goal when that song came out, that I would be able to buy those, you know, at some point, even though I know they're not comfortable and they don't hold up well, but I will probably get them for that song. So anything Cardi, that's, yeah, she's my boo on that. I love her music, and I'm more of a rap, hip hop, dance type person. So that's my jam.
I'm right there with you.
Good. Because I've requested songs for people before, and it's really thrown them off when it gets really bootylicious, like real quick. And I'm like, sorry, how I dance.
That's what gets me moving. Like that's what it takes. Like it is the songs are everything. Like it'll put you in the mood to like hit it at the gym, or it'll put you in the mood to work. It just,
I wish I could dance like you in that sense. Like I love dance in general, but you know, I mean, I grew up on a farm. We didn't have money to go do anything. I wasn't, you know, I never learned anything else except horses in my entire life. So if I would have, I would have taken dance classes because I do love it so much. So yeah, music is definitely my, yeah, that's, I'm that, you know, throw your hair in a bun and throw on the gangster rap and get it done person. Like that's so my shirt every morning, cause that's all I listen to. And it's pretty funny, or country, that or country music. So I'm totally,
I was gonna say you're from like one end of the spectrum to the other, but pretty it's much. All, yeah, it's all yep. good. It's
yep. all good. I love it. I love every, I mean, it's balance, right? It's all about yes. balance. Embrace all sides of yourselves, ladies. Embrace yourself. Right.
All sides. It's not just one thing. We no, were many hats. Well, I really want to thank you. Seriously, thank you so much for being on today and just sharing many good tips and such valuable information. I know it's going to be helpful to a lot of the women that are listening. And where can they find you?
Yeah, if anybody, like, I mean, Seals, like, I will talk to everybody. So if you have a question, for the love of God, DM me. I will talk to you at some point. Just tell me you heard me on here, you know, and we'll have a chat. But on all of my personal accounts is Kristen Crowley TV, or the website is Kristen Crowley. It's CROWLEY.com, and at Reframe Your Biz. So Reframe Your Biz, and that's actually going to be the website as well, ReframeYourBiz.com.
Well, thank you again so much for being on. I so appreciate it. I think this is going to be an incredible one to share, and I look forward to posting it soon.
I know, and I look forward to you. You are amazing. So this is the perfect podcast for you.
Thank you, and thank you so much for being on. Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.